1 Timothy chapter number 2, first 8 verses, where we're going to be. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So we'll go back and read verse 1 again. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So the first thing to consider is God's telling us that we need to be praying for everybody. I don't like that. I don't want to pray for everybody. Do you? You think I want to pray for that person that wronged me when I was in the fifth grade? I want to hold a grudge the rest of my life. But that's what he said. And here are the few things. Verse 1 has a whole lot contained in it, so we're going to kind of jump in here and run through these. First, he says we got to pray for everybody. And I think about the people in my life. I think about the people. Well, think about who you've had problems with, you've had issues with. And can I be honest with you? I think I have a bigger problem with somebody that has wronged one of my family members than I do somebody that's wronged me. Don't you mess with my kids. I get you. You know what I mean? We have that mentality, and that's how we, you know, we're protective of our family, you know. Little funny story, not funny now, but now I look back, you know, and I've grown hopefully a lot since then. My wife and my kids, when my kids were small and she was driving to school, they were coming up to a red light. There's a car at the red light. There's a car behind it. And Tammy had pulled up behind that car. I think she was either second or third car there. Maybe she was right behind the car. Another car coming, it was a little bit rainy and hit, bumped. And so, you know, it was a little bit scary for me. I had my babies in there, you know, make sure they're okay. They were fine. We were sitting at home one Saturday morning, about 10 o'clock in the morning. Somebody came in with a certified letter, whatever, you know, we're being sued. We're being sued by the person that was stopped at the red light that she was behind. Because in order for them, apparently, I don't know how this law works. Some of y'all know way better than I do. I just got mad. But in order to get the person that actually did the wrong, you've got to sue the person behind you and the person behind you and the person that actually did it. I didn't know how all this worked. All I knew is this man's suing me and my kids and my wife got hit in the car. I was about to go off on him. It took me a long time to get over that. And see, and so I'm just sharing, and you no doubt have had similar situations like that to where you think I'm going to pray for him? God told me I'm supposed to. And it's hard, isn't it? It's hard for us to get to the place that we're willing to pray for those kind of people. And I got to be honest with you, it took me a lot of years before I could ever pray for him. Of course, we get stubborn. But when he says we need to be praying for everybody, what humbles me most of the time is when God goes, now, I forgave you, and I know how you've acted, he's saying to me, and I know how I've been. I know God's forgiven me, so I need to be forgiving everybody else. I need to be praying for everybody else. And so it's a hard lesson to learn, isn't it, sometimes? But it's true that we cheat ourselves out of blessings when we hold that anger and that resentment and those grudges. I get it, we're human, you know, and I'm about as good at getting angry when something happens to my family as anybody else. But God says, you got to be praying for everybody. So that's the first part, is we got to be praying for everybody. Hey, Stephen prayed for the people while they were murdering him. This is not some made up story. They were stoning Stephen, and he looked up and saw heaven open and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And he said, "Father, forgive them." Just like Jesus when he died on the cross. "They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them, Father." And I'm like, how in the world do you say that? How do you say forgive them? I would be saying, "God, while I'm dying, send a hailstorm to wipe them all out. I'm going up and they're going down. Get it done." But he prayed for those people that were murdering him, when all he did was stand on the truth. So I'm, wow. But this is real. We got to pray for everybody. So then he says in that line, he says, I exhort first of all supplications. What is supplication? A supplication is a request or a petition. It's about praying for needs. That's what that's about. Supplications are those prayers that you lift up that pertain to the needs that you have. James 4:2 says, "You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight a war, yet you have not, because you ask not." A lot of times we don't have what we need because we're not asking God for it. We're just going through life and just, we're not developing a relationship with Christ. We're not communicating with Him. Sometimes we're never going to get to the root of the problem of what's wrong unless we talk about it. You know how your marriage works, right? It works the same way, doesn't it? I mean, if we're not communicating, we're not understanding if I'm doing something wrong. If you're in a relationship, sometimes we're not going to understand what works, what's good, what's bad. And it causes us to allow that little bit of anger fester. They just did it again. They did it again, you know, and it builds up. Then we blow up. So we need to communicate. We need to talk. We need to send up our supplications, our requests of things that we need. When blind Bartimaeus was sitting there and Jesus was coming by and he heard that he had gone by, "Thou son of David," he screamed it. They told him, "Hush, be quiet. Jesus is going by. Don't be yelling." He said, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And so Jesus stopped and said, "Bring that man to me." That's what we need to do. We need to pray. We need to talk to him about the things that we need in our life. Now, granted, we don't have time to elaborate on that part of prayer so much about what we really need and what we think we need, what we want. Big differences there. But God will supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. And we got to pray. We got to ask for those things. And He said, "Some things I want to bless you with, but you refuse to communicate with me. You refuse to talk to me. You refuse to lift up that petition to me." And again, God is a gentleman. He's not going to force Himself on us, nor is He going to impose a lot of those things on us. He wants to bless us, but we've got to talk to Him, communicate, and lift up those petitions, those supplications. Then I think it's interesting, he says, "I exhort therefore first of all supplications, then prayers." Are not all of these things prayers that we're talking about in verse number one? Yeah, they are. They're all prayers. So why does he distinguish the word prayers in the midst of supplications, intercessions, and giving thanks? Why did he designate the word prayers and use it again? Because it has a little bit different meaning here. What prayers means here is earnest worship. Earnest worship. So it's not a prayer that's asking for something. It's not a prayer that's doing anything else other than just a prayer that is praising God. I think it's important. Yes, we need to be aware that we need to lift up our supplications, our petitions, and our requests to Him. But we need to also be very quick to praise Him and to worship Him. I think about Daniel that prayed 3 times a day, every day, clockwork. He prayed every day. He probably prayed more than that, but he had designated times that he would open up his window and look down toward where Jerusalem would be, and he would pray. I don't think that Daniel was just a creature of habit, and he just opened the window and prayed just because, well, It's 7:10, time to pray. I don't think it was something that he felt was a commandment or a law or a decree, but I believe he longed for those times and that moment. Hey, man, I can't wait to get done with this. I get to go stand and communicate with God. And just, not that we can't communicate with God anytime, anywhere we can, but when we say, I'm making a special time that I'm going to make sure everything else in my life is put on hold because I want to be alone with God. I want to hear God. I want to talk with God. I want to feel His presence. You know, yeah, we can pray anytime, anywhere, and we should, and we do. You know, driving down the road, you know, mowing your yard, that's a great time to, you know, you just, we're praying and talking to God. That, it's great. But when we say, God is so special to me and so precious to me that I'm making sure everything in my life is on hold because I've got a moment. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to talk with God, and I'm not going to be interrupted. This is God and me designated in my life. It's not just a rule or a ritual, but it's a precious time that we have with God. So that's what prayers means here. It means to worship Him. Be earnest in that praise and worship of Him. It's not hooping and hollering and jumping around for everybody to see you. That's not what this is talking about. This is in your closet kind of prayer is what this is. This is not for show. This is not the Pharisee. Jesus talked about him, you know, when you're praying. Don't pray like the Pharisees do. Don't get on the street corner with lifted hands and praying out loud for everybody to hear. He said, that's not what I'm talking about. No, he said, when you want to pray and talk to me, when you want to worship me, you go get in your closet. Nobody can see you. Then we're going to see how much business you mean with me. Then we're going to see how serious you are. So that's what this prayer is about. It's that prayer of praise and being earnest and dedicated and being involved in that moment. So he said, pray for all people, lift supplications, lift up prayers, which are basically prayer, praises. Then he says intercession, which is an interesting word. Intercession here means a specific prayer basically intended for others. Intercessory prayer. So in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, he says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, hang on, according to His will, He heareth us. You get that? Underline that. Mark that. Circle that. Highlight that. You don't claim anything. You don't control power. You don't seize anything. I don't tell Satan what to do. I can't demand things be done because I don't have a special calling to be an interceder above anybody else. Because here, there are some people that want to feel as though they have this special relationship with God. There are some that feel like because I've been elevated by God, or I feel like I'm elevated to where I can pray certain prayers for healing or whatever it might be, that other people are not going to be able to do. So I'm gifted in this area. Hear me. Everybody is an intercessor that is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're all called to intercede for everybody and to pray. You know, so there are movements that want to make this more about edification of people and edification of man, and we've got to be careful of those kind of things. But we have all been called to intercede for people. Don't just take a prayer request to somebody else that you think, boy, they really pray. They know how to pray. I'm going to take it to them. Listen, if you're saved, you're saved by the same blood they're saved by. You have the same relationship with them, with God that they have. Yeah, they may be a little closer spiritually to God than you are at the time. But listen, we are called to all pray and intercede for other people. And I think about Well, let me read this next verse. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and he spake unto them. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So Christ has the power. He is the interceder between God and man. So we must approach him. He is the power that accomplishes all these things. I read the verse about saying it's if we pray according to God's will. Be careful about claiming things, naming and claiming things. Be careful about thinking that because somebody is sick, that they've got an evil spirit that we need to exercise. Be careful. Not everything is an evil spirit. Hey, if I eat bad chicken, I'm serious. My tummy is not going to feel good. It's because I ate something bad, and naturally it's going to mess my body. Listen, we live in a world that is contaminated by sin. So not everything is necessarily an evil spirit. So when we pray, we've got to be careful about spiritualism and getting involved in a lot of those things that can take us to a place where we don't need to be and lose sight of the truth. Because once we start looking at things that way, we begin to elevate ourselves and feel as though we're more than what we really are. Foot of the cross is level ground. All of us have the same access to the same God through the same blood. And so we need to be praying as such and reaching out to Jesus. When we pray, be careful when we pray. Because somebody's sick, we feel like they must be healed. And we will pray in the power of Jesus Christ, you be healed. Is there anything wrong with that prayer? I don't know God's will. I don't know if God wants them healed. Paul prayed 3 times for the thorn in the flesh to be taken out. Was it taken out? It was not taken out. Why? He said, it was left there to humble me. So I think about, I'm not saying be generic in your prayers. When you're inspired by the Spirit of God to pray specifically about something or about somebody, pray what God's telling you to pray. But understand, we are not sovereign. God is sovereign. And we don't know God's will. God knows His will. Abraham prayed for Sodom to be spared. Was it spared? Nope. Moses prayed and asked God to forgive the people that were rebelling down here with a gold calf. God, forgive them, you know, don't destroy them. What happened when he came back down? They got destroyed. We got to be careful how we pray. I'm not saying be afraid to pray, but be cautious if we feel as though we're developing an authority in prayer. That's what we got to be concerned about. So that's what intercessory prayer is about. All right, Thanksgiving. I got to move on. We're never going to get done. He said, pray with thanksgiving. So here's something on Thanksgiving. Many times we forget to do that. I forget to do that. God ever do something for you? And you just going about your business and you never even thank him for it? Oh boy, when the pressure's on, we're praying like a crazy man, right? Woo, we're sweating praying so hard. Waiting on God to answer, waiting on God to answer. Oh, we're just wringing it. You know, the sweat off our head, and then all of a sudden when God answers, we'd whoo! And we just go our way and we never even thank God for what. Have you ever done that? I'm guilty of that. So he put that in there. We need to always remember that we need to go back and thank God for the things he does in our life. Moses, when they crossed the Red Sea, got over there about an 8-hour journey. Once they got everybody over and the Red Sea closed back up, they sang a song of salvation. I think that's wonderful because they took a moment to stop and say, we're just going to take a minute. We're going to praise God for what he's done. He's delivered us, you know, and he set us free. So be quick to thank God. All right, second verse. Wow, we're just on verse 2. I'm going to roll with it here. Verse number 2, he said, here's who we're praying for. For kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Proverbs 11:11 says, by the blessing of the upright, you hear that? By the blessings of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Do you like praying for your leaders of your country? Did I strike a nerve? I'm just the messenger. We don't want to pray for some people, do we? We just want them to leave. We want them we want somebody else to come in. You know, we don't. But he's telling us we got to pray for them. And if we're praying that God gets a hold of them, that they listen, that they open their hearts up, that they embrace truth, if we're praying that way, it makes perfect sense when he says that's going to bring us, that's going to lead, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty. When there's harmony at the top, everybody else can kind of walk in peace, can't they? Right? What's that saying? If mama ain't happy, you know what? If we have leadership that is godly and obeying the Lord, then what does that do for our homes, our communities, our state? What does that do for us? Oh, it makes us sleep easier, don't it? We got peace. I'm so sick of watching the news, I hadn't watched it in 5 years. Because I don't know if I could stand it, but because we're not peaceful. So he's saying, pray for these people that are in leadership. All right, now in verse number 3 and 4, he says it's important we need to pray for salvation. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Those of you that are familiar with Calvinism, one of the points, the 5 points of Calvinism is unconditional election, which means God's going to save you if you're one of the chosen without choice. You don't choose. Well, we disagree with that. You choose. You know, you're not going to just save some and not save others by just God's sovereign election. So even though God wants everybody to be saved, not everybody's going to be saved, right? That's why in verse number 4, he says, who will have all men to be saved? If God's will always happens, God's will is for everybody to be saved, then everybody be saved, nobody go to hell, everybody go to heaven. God's will's not always done, is it? It's not always done. So there's that choice. So he's saying, pray for salvation. Why? Because there is that small part that we play in salvation in that we choose to believe. It's very small, very minor, you know. God did all the heavy lifting. God sent his Father, sent his Son. The Son came. He lived a perfect life. He gave himself on the cross at Calvary. He gave up the ghost. He died. He went in the tomb. 3 days later, conquered death, hell, and the grave. He was resurrected. 40 days later, he ascended. He sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I till he comes back to get us. All the hard work was done. What we do and the choice we make is to believe that. But we still got to make that choice. We are free moral agents. Pray for people to get saved, because they still must choose to reject or accept that offer of salvation. Verse number 5, there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Mediator means go between. So we only have, if there is one mediator, that means there's one way. There's only one way, right? If there's only one God, there's only one mediator, then there's only one. I know this is elementary for y'all. Well, of course, preacher. Yeah, we believe Jesus is the only way. But the world wants to believe there are multiple gods and multiple ways for us to get to heaven, okay? And I thought about this today. If there were multiple gods, then there would be no supreme being. So that don't even make sense. We must believe, everybody, whether they like it or not, must believe that there is a supreme being somewhere. I think even people that say they don't have to believe something. They got to believe that there's something there greater and bigger and vaster, that more vast than us, and that we've become what we've become. You know, we didn't just evolve from a tadpole. We have these minds to reason, to think, you know. So anyway, we think about how there's one mediator. We think there must be a supreme being. So that being the case, we believe it's the God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and there's one mediator that gets us there. So it is important for us to pray for people to be saved, because there's not many ways to get there. There's only one. So we need to make sure not only are they understanding that they need to be saved, but they need to make sure they're being saved by the right thing, by the blood of Christ, nothing else. They're not being led into some false doctrine, some cult, or some ideas of pagan worship that they feel as though my works perhaps may get me there. I might be good enough to get there, or I can put a little bit of belief and a little bit of money and a little bit of cross on my fingers and do this over here and pray these certain prayers, and I'm hoping that supreme being will take me home. No, we need to be praying for salvation, because we know there's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So he's a jealous God. He ain't gonna let you get to heaven no other way. He's jealous. He's jealous of your affection. He's jealous of the method of salvation, and he will not let anybody get to heaven outside of believing in Jesus Christ. Verse number 6, who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Basically, what he's talking about being testified means it's going to be preached, it's going to be taught, it's going to be shared, it's going to be expounded upon that he is the only way for us to be saved. The word ransom here means the redemptive cost. So Jesus is the redemptive cost. He paid for our sin debt. That's why we need to be praying for salvation for souls, because nobody else can get you there. We can't pray our dead family members into paradise. They made their choice before they drew their last breath. That choice is made here. Where you end up for the rest of your eternity is going to be one of two places, heaven or hell. Well, heaven eventually going to be the new heaven, new earth, or the lake of fire. You're going to be there forever. You're either going to live forever, or you're going to die forever. But you're eternal. That choice is made here while you're on this earth. That's why it's critical and important that we pray for salvation for people. Verse number 7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth of Christ and not lie, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Well, see, there you go, preacher. He's saying that nobody else needs to pray that kind of prayer except him. He's a preacher. You're not getting off the hook that easy. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth, is what Jesus said. Then he said, because all power is given unto me, go ye therefore. He didn't just say go a handful of people, just go the apostles. He said go ye. He means all of us must go teaching, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse number 8, see, we made it. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Pause for just a second. Think about what he's saying here. He said, I want you to pray with lifted hands. Okay. So that means now the only way we can reach heaven now is to come in here and raise your hands. Reach heaven. We know he's not talking about, amen. Well, he's not talking about the physical aspect of raising hands. What he's doing is alluding to what that means inside of you. Let that spirit be lifted up. Let that spirit be raised. That's what he's talking about. Listen to these verses. Here's how we get in the right frame and right attitude. It's not by wearing the right clothes, by lifting the right hands, by shouting the right words of praise, by being in a congregation of people to where we can be seen and heard in what we're doing, what we're saying. You know, people go, oh, that person's really spiritual. You know, well, look how they're doing. Now, here's how we identify as being spiritual and lifting up those hands. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. We got to get rid of the sin. That's what brings that holiness to us. It's not how we look or how we sound, but it's where our heart is at. That's how you can pray with lifted hands in our spirit, is when we're humbled before God, when we're repentant before God, when we're seeking to be right with God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24 says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift." God ain't going to hear us unless our heart's clean and pure before Him. That's how you want to get an audience with God? You want to have those spiritual lifted hands? You want to make sure you're in tune with God? How we do that is by making sure our sins are confessed. Not by dressing a certain way and yelling a certain way and putting on a show for everybody to see, but we do it by making sure our sins are confessed, and that's where we're at with God. I hope that was interesting for you. That was good. I enjoyed that little bit on prayer. We could go on and on and on about prayer. So if you're interested, not that we're going to do it, but I've got 6 sermons in a sermon series online called Prayer. If you want to check out, I think back in 2022 or something, I did that. But if you want to go back and look at that, we broke down prayer and a lot of things to do with prayer. So if you want to do a little more digging in that, that might be something beneficial to you. All right, we'll stand.